And today is Saturday, April 3rd, 2021. And this will be partially, not entirely, tomorrow will be day one of being completely homeless. But today will be partially the beginning of it. And to start off my day, I woke up in the morning in a completely deflated bed, which has one of those inflatable beds which had a leak in it. And I was having to hurry home before people stopped playing their video games at the Nightmare House. And inflate the bed so as not to make noise to wake people up if I got back too late for them sleeping. And they're both early getting up people most nights. And my own self-courtesy was not to run the loud vacuum-sounding motor to inflate the bed if I got back before everybody was sleeping. So, I wake up in the morning and the bed is completely flat. I'm on the back springs, basically. And I get up and go in and put my... You know, start looking at my room, the remaining items. The car's already pretty much packed with what I consider my necessities. So I look at the room and I figure out how I'm going to get the rest of it into the car in an acceptable configuration. I've been told to leave the keys in the remote for the garage door, which is how you come in and out of the house, on the table, and be gone. I believe the words were, go my own way, or find my own way. Leave the keys and find my own way. So, that's the situation I'm under in the morning. And I make myself some coffee. I'm now on day number two of not eating any food. There was no money to buy food, and not really feeling like eating any of the food that is in the house. Most of it is not really healthy for me, and I get sick from it. I don't know what's expired and what isn't. With the way the junk is piled up in there, it could be there for years. I've been getting by eating avocados, and I've been having salads that I buy from the stores, which are strangely in bags. I don't know how they stay fresh in those bags, but they're the best thing I seem to be able to do. I try to get spinach and the darker green leaf type food. Anyway, back in the bedroom, make myself some coffee, start folding up the... deflate the bed all the way, get it folded up, get everything packed up, my bag of clothes, my bag of laundry, my backpack, which is right next to me now. I'm basically packed up everything, carry it down, get it in the car, leave the keys, and off I go. So this first half day, this is in the afternoon. Oh, first I waited for the mailbox because the government has promised a stimulus check, which since April of this year, there have been three. I've never received a single one of any of them. Most people have told me they've gotten theirs, but I have not. So, a lot of help for the people that really need it. Anyway, I have a lot of gas in the car, thanks to a very good friend of mine. And off I go. And I think, well, where am I going today? Homeless me, where am I going to go? And so I think, well, I would like to get on the computer. I have the laptop computer, fortunately. So I decide, let's go to the library. I'll get on the Wi-Fi over there. I can get a private room and just sit in there and look things up and see if I can do anything to find out about what to do for my new homeless situation. I get to the parking lot over there, and I'm sitting for a few minutes with the windows rolled down. It's beautiful weather outside. It's gone from horrible to just wonderful weather here in Las Vegas. And I think we're in the 80s for the highs. And I'm just looking around and absorbing the fact that I'm not going back home again. I have no relatives that are involved in any of being able to help me with any of this kind of thing. And so I'm virtually alone in this world. Not married, no children, no family. And then I get a phone call from my dad. He's at a assisted living with my stepmom. And he's not really able to talk very much. He can talk a little bit, but it's difficult for him. Anyway, they're telling me thank you. I sent them about 2 days earlier, I sent them a Christmas card. And no, it's not Christmas time. I know that. It's summertime already. But I did have a leftover Christmas card, which I sent to them in order to keep this printout I made for them from being all folded up and crinkled. What it was is something I found on the internet from my great-great-great-grandfather. He had signed a ticket for the fair up in Illinois back in 1904. And the ticket was to admit himself and his wife and children. And I've found it humorous that it's the way it said it on there was one person, his wife and children, assuming 100% that the man of the house was going to be buying the ticket, was the one who handled the money, and the others would be coming along with him if they wanted to, or if they did not want to, that ticket would let them in also. So it was kind of funny. Anyway, to see the signature of my great, great, great grandfather was kind of like looking at something he wrote with his hand, and now I'm looking right at it too. I can't really explain it, but it's a very strong connection to the man that I never met. I've seen a picture of him and the family, He was a pretty handsome, strong-looking man. He looked a bit like our family. I could see the resemblance. And his son, Fred, I was a small child in the 1960s, and I had met him twice. I've been over at his house as a little kid. And in the picture that I saw, he was a young man, and it looked like he was leaning away from his family in the picture. So I got the impression from that that he wanted to get away from them. But anyway, just the look on the wife's face was pure shock, is how I would describe it. I don't know. I just looked at that picture to see, you know, what kind of people were my relatives? How did they feel about their life? Were they happy? Were they unhappy? Were they mean people? Were they nice people? Just all that kind of thing. And I really can't tell from just one picture. I mean, it only caught that moment in time. So anyway, back to my first half day. I basically went to the library parking lot. I'm sitting in the parking lot with my window down, and this girl is walking across a street and yelling something to me, and cars are going by, and I hear her say, excuse me, but do you have any change that you could spare me to get some food? And this is a young gal, and she looked nice enough. This black girl. And she couldn't hear my answer. She was outside of the car, and I was trying to tell her, you know, I'm homeless. I don't have anything but pennies, which was true. I had a pile of pennies, and that's all the money there was in this car. And she can't hear me. She comes walking closer, still can't hear me. And finally, she's up to my window, and I go, I'm sorry, I don't have any money. And she goes, oh, okay, okay. And I go, I'm homeless, and I actually haven't eaten for 2 days myself. And she goes, oh. And she goes, well, I'll tell you what, are you going to stay here? And I go, well, I'm at the library. I was going to go inside and use the computer. And she goes, well, I'll be back in about 30 minutes, and I'll bring you some food. And I'm going, you will? How are you going to do that? You're just asking me for some money. And she goes, I'll be 30 minutes. And then as she's walking away, she goes, do you have any food allergies? And I said, no, I'm just hungry. And I really was kind of not sure what she was doing. And then she said, all right, I'll be back in 30 minutes. If you go in the library, I'll come find you, because I'm going in the library too. And she goes walking away. So I'm sitting in the car, and I'm thinking to myself, man, what? I can't hardly believe this. Somebody would do that for me. That's really something. Here I was, you know, people ask me for change every once in a while and stuff, and I don't always give it to them. I kind of like see somebody coming up to me. I know what they're doing. I get a little bit of an irritation that they're bothering me with that, and I'm so low on money myself most of the time. I don't know. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't give somebody something like that. But basically, I end up with a mix on that. Anyway, she takes off. And then I'm sitting in the car for a few more minutes thinking, well, you know, if I'm going to sit here for 30 minutes, I'm not going to go in the library. She's probably not going to find me. I'm going to be in one of those private rooms that they let you reserve. And I'm thinking to myself, well, okay, fine. So I grab my backpack, lock up the car, and get out and go walking to where she took off to walking. And, come on, guy. Gotta have a diesel truck. And, so I think that I'm gonna see her somewhere, because there's just a bunch of shopping, a small amount of shopping mall stores and a convenience store on the corner across the street, and that's all there is. So I figure I can find her easily. So I go walking on down the street thinking, I was thinking two things. I was thinking, well, maybe I can help her, maybe I can be company to her, and actually a third thing I was thinking, maybe I'll learn something. I'm gonna see what this gal is doing, that she magically gets some food for bringing back, or if maybe she's just possibly almost impossible, but maybe she's just going to take off and I'm not going to see her again. So anyway, I'm on my way to go help her. I walk, I get to the corner, I look around, I don't see her anywhere. I can't see her. So then I go across the street. I go walking around at the convenience store parking lot, which is a gas station, and I'm walking around there. I don't see her anywhere. I look behind. I go around to the other side. I look at all the stores up and down. I don't see her anywhere. So I think to myself, she's gone somewhere. I'm not going to be able to find her. Maybe she's going to come back to where the car is. So I decide to go back. You know, can't find her, go back. So I'm at the street light. Cross, I get to the other side, and then I kind of just stop and stand there for a little while. And there she is. I see her coming out of the convenience store, and she's got a bag, obviously, of food. I hope she didn't steal it or anything. I'm pretty sure she has some way of buying it. She did something. And so I wait for her, and I walk back with her to the parking lot at the library, and she goes, oh, I just came over here to see if I could help you. And she goes, oh, are you the guy that was in the red car? And I go, yes. So she really didn't even know what I looked like. She was just helping a stranger, which I think is really something wonderful. Anyway, she pulls out a burrito and gives it to me. It's been cooked and it's hot. She goes, be careful, it's hot. And I'm walking with her a little bit further, and I go, so what happened to you? Are you homeless? And she said, yes. And in all the speech I heard her using and saying, I said to her, that's amazing, because you really don't seem like you would be homeless. You sound like an intelligent person. And she goes, I am. I've made a number of incorrect choices, and that has caused my situation. And I'm like, wow. Then we're walking a little bit further, and I go, how did you do that? And she goes, well, I'm with someone. And, oh, come on. This button works real good. And so I'm suddenly sensing that she is worried about me walking with her. And I go, "Oh, okay. I'll give you your space. I'll leave you alone. Thank you so much for doing that. You know, I appreciate it. I think it's wonderful of you, and I really appreciate it. And I'll see you I'm going in the library too in a few minutes." And she goes, "Okay, I'll see you in the library," which I never did see her again. I go outside, I eat this burrito. It's not really the best thing for me because it's covered with a flour tortilla and I've got the carbohydrate, metabolic syndrome, diabetes. And I can't, my body can't process that white flour without giving me extremely high blood sugar. But I was, like I said, 2 days. And I was a bit hungry, so I did eat it, peeled off all the extra I could, and that being from a convenience store, it's, I don't know, 50% actual food in it. The rest of it is just garbage they add to it, you know, filler and all the other chemicals. Anyway, I was still something pretty cool that happened. So then I get my laptop, go in the library, and I'm in one of the private rooms in there, and I'm working away on my computer doing some searches, and I'm thinking to myself, now what am I, because I'm still in a state of what I would call shock and flux, not knowing where I'm going, what I'm doing next. Don't really have a routine for this. I have not learned how to do it exactly. I'm not skilled at it. I did spend a few days studying how to do the living in the car bit because I spent about 4 days intentionally doing it before I was kicked out to see if I could figure out a way to do it before it was actually happening to me so that I had no control over it. I did have a place to go back to at the time. I've lived at 4 different places this year, so I've been hopping around. Anyway, I'm in the library and I'm on the computer and I look through a couple of different things. And there are the usual list of what are called homeless services in this city, Las Vegas, is it's basically all crammed into a little 2-block area in the well hidden away from the strip, well north of downtown Las Vegas, where nobody's going to see it. And there are just people all over the sidewalks in every which direction for blocks and blocks and blocks. There are little tents, there's garbage everywhere, and you know, piles of junk and things people are sleeping in made out of cardboard and just everything. The sad part is I've driven through there over the many years. I've driven past there. And my friends, I would say, "Look at that. Can you believe they allow that?" And my friends have mostly always said, "I don't want to look at that." So there is some type of a resistance to even seeing it or thinking about it. They don't want to do it. But I have always been the looker. I have seen somebody's grandma, some 70-year-old lady sitting in a wheelchair with an oxygen tank and a mattress on the ground and a bunch of bags and shopping carts around and people walking around who are mentally messed up and some are not, but It's dangerous. People steal each other's stuff. That a lot of them are drug addicted, and those people steal other people's stuff so they can buy their drugs. And I can go on forever about that stuff. But anyway, I'm seeing the services listed, and they're all in that same thing. They're at Main Street. They're at, you know, Owens. They're in the North Las Vegas bad zone. And there are just thousands of people, you know. I don't know how this could even be going on. It's year after year after year. It's never changed, and it's just gotten bigger and bigger. I've even seen people set up pup tents in the middle of a grocery store, you know, divider area, and start living there. So that's even just around town. They're also spread all around town. The ones that don't want to be in that North Las Vegas area down there, they're living near a highway, or they're living near spots that have these little wooded areas or whatever they can find. Backs of buildings, empty lots. They're all over the place. So anyway, I'm looking at these services, reading down this list, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, there's nothing. There's literally nothing. I mean, if you want to go live at a shelter where they've got bunk beds in large gymnasium-sized rooms with an armed guard walking around, and they search you and metal detector you on the way in and check your bags and everything, and then you sleep in there not knowing if somebody's going to walk up and stab you or anything, whether your bag is going to disappear. They do have lockers. I think they provide computers. They're trying. They do have some things where people can get washed up, and they do have some meals, but the meals are not for me. They're very high carbohydrate and salt and all kinds of sugar, and I mean 90% of it is poison to me. It makes me sick. Makes my body sick. Doesn't make me sick, but I can feel that my body is just dying from that stuff, and I don't want to eat it really. I would rather than have a full course meal, I would rather have something healthy. And so the money lasts longer. The better the food is, the more, you know, for you. The way they've set this up, the better the food is for you, the more expensive it is for you. So the people that are like me, that are low on money, have to spend more just to get food that is not making them sick. So anyway, I'm reading down this list, looking at these maps, and I call up this one food bank, and they go, no, we're sorry, we did ours yesterday, we do it twice a month. So it's very complicated until you even find one that's going to be within the time period that you're starving to death. And so the second one I call, I see this vegan restaurant on a list. There's like three other ones, and there's a vegan restaurant for some reason on this list that is also offering a food distribution thing that they do, but it doesn't say when they do it. So they show the hours of their restaurant is open all week, and they're open during the time right now when I'm sitting there reading this. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm gonna call. I call up and I go, hi, I saw your restaurant on a list, and I was wondering when you do the food distribution thing, because I was thinking I'd like to go to it. You know, I'm in need right now. I really don't have anything to eat. It's been a few days, and I'm getting really hungry, and I'm checking these. And the person goes, oh, yeah, we do still do the food distribution. Let me get you with the person that handles that. Can you wait a minute? And I said, yeah. And so then they go get somebody, and this lady comes on the phone, and she goes, hi, my name is Lou. And she goes, yes, we do the food distribution. In fact, we do it today, but I'm sorry, we've given out all the food boxes for today. It's already over. You know, that she was saying that they had already given them all out. And she goes, I'll tell you what, is this your phone number that I can reach you at? And she goes, what I'm going to do is I'm going to check and see if any of the boxes were brought back. Sometimes there are some that are left over, and I'm going to give you a call. I get off work in about an hour, so it's going to be about an hour. Is that okay? And she goes, I'll call you back. And I said, all right, thanks. So I figure I might not ever hear from again. It did seem pretty long, but it was probably about an hour. And I'll be darned if Lou didn't call me back. And she says to me, well, I'm off work. They didn't bring any boxes back. And I go, oh, well, that's okay. You tried, and I really... And then she goes, well, that's... She goes, I'm gonna bring you some food. And I go, you're going to bring me some food? And she goes, yes, where are you at? And I told her where I was at. I was no longer at the library. I was at a parking lot that was a 24-hour grocery store type of thing, parked way over at the edge of it, since I figure, you know, a store that stays open at night and nobody would really care if I'm just kind of hanging around there, parked there. So I tell her where I'm at, and she goes, all right, stay right there. I'm going to bring you over some stuff. Do you like soup? Do you like sandwich? Do you like... She named a bunch of different things, and I go, I like all of it. I like food, all of it, everything. I love it. Great. And then she goes, okay, I'm going to fix you some stuff, and I'm going to bring it over in about a half an hour, so you stay right there. And I told her where I was, and she goes, I'll find you. You're in the back of the parking lot. I'll be over there. And I hung up. And so then I got to thinking to myself, you know, this was a vegan restaurant that I had called up. Boy, this is going to be some pretty interesting stuff. This might be some good food, because typically a restaurant like that is going to be a more expensive upper crust type of thing, because like I said, the healthier the food, the more expensive it tends to be. You know, it's possible it wouldn't be, but most likely it was. Anyway, I don't even know where she's coming from. I think it was somewhere in South Las Vegas, so there was a fairly much distance. Maybe she went on the highway. I don't know what happened. But I'm just sitting there in the car, and I'm listening to some music and everything. And, no, I was listening to Art Bell, radio recordings that people have made. They put it on the internet. 1997, and he is talking to Dr. Michio Kaku about alternate realities, alternate dimensions, all these kinds of things. And, you know, a very old show back in the 90s. And I'm listening to that, and here comes this lady driving up in a car, and I instantly knew it was her. And so I get out, and she goes, hi, are you Jay? And I said, yes, I'm Jay. How are you doing, Lou? And we both have remembered each other's names, of course, and we're like happy and I'm happy to see her. She's happy to see me. And so I get out and, you know, I talk to her for a little while. I tell her a little bit about my stuff, and she hands me these two bags, and she goes, there's a bean-type soup in that one. There's another, I don't know what it was called, type soup. I'll tell you, it was pretty weird. It had some peas floating in the top of it and whatever. I still don't know what it was. And there was a sandwich, some potato salad, and a Caesar salad, I think she said it was. It had some cheese and some type of what I would call homemade dressing, because I've never tasted any dressing like this before, and it was very thin, but it was really good. On romaine type lettuce and stuff. And two apples, one green, one red, two oranges, and a bag of cauliflower chips, lightly sea salted. All good. So I'm holding these two bags, standing in a parking lot in the dark at night, with her, talking to her, and she's saying to me, you know, I hope you enjoy that and everything. And I had been thinking before she showed up, you know, I would like just somebody to talk to. I don't even. You get into this isolation. Where I was living at and the type of people that were over there, they don't want to talk to you about anything except what they want to boast about or what they want to be, you know, what they're interested in so much and nothing else. They have zero empathy or inclusion with other people. It's just them. It's all about them. So anyway, I feel isolated all this time, and I briefly get to talk to my one good friend, and he's always in a hurry and he's got reasons. And then I occasionally talk to other people. I'm one of those guys that I'll just walk up to anybody and say hi. I don't care who it is. I love everybody until they prove themselves not, you know, to be worthy of that. But, and I'm not stupid. I don't, you know, I'm 61 years old now. I haven't been killed yet, so I'm not stupid. But anyway, I'm talking to her in the parking lot, and I'm saying to myself, let me back up. Before she showed up, I'm sitting in the car thinking, man, you know, I really wish I could just have somebody I could talk to. It helps your mind work things out. It helps you feel not alone, and it gives you like a mental well-being that somebody is in on things that are happening with you, and it also helps you to listen to what is happening with them. It's an interaction that I think is a good thing. Obviously it is. And to be alone all the time with your thoughts is not good for you. So I'm thinking that kind of stuff. I'm listening to Art Bell on my phone is playing MP3, you know, radio program from 97 Michikaku, talking about Big Bang and alternate realities and all the rest of it. So she pulls up. Now I'm talking to her, and she goes, okay, so tell me what's going on with you. Now here's a lady who has worked all day long at a restaurant. She has been probably busting her butt all day at a restaurant, and long day, tired. Now she's driven somewhere out of her way, and rather than going home and resting and whatever, she's driven all this way at night to drop this stuff off to me. And she's actually nice enough to ask me what's going on. How did this happen to me? And I'm like, wow, you know, that's really cool. Yeah. Actually, it's more than really cool. It's enough to put you to tears, just about. And I tell her, well, the quick story is things have happened that over time my situation has gotten worse and worse. I've moved a bunch of times. I've lost connection with all of my friends that used to be in the, you know, I did computer help desk for many, many years, and everybody's moved out of Las Vegas, you know, and then the jobs have gotten worse, and I started doing contractor jobs that were short term. Eventually, I have nothing really to show on my resume, and then finally, I have gotten down to just doing odd jobs and go help somebody with a computer at their house or whatever. In between jobs, I did that, and little by little, it has just gotten less and less and less. And then finally, I've been off work for a long period of time. You know, I had physical problems. My legs not good, the diabetes and all the rest of it. I spent a lot of time studying that. And then I lost the house I was living at. The spare room I was living at went away. The guy sold the house to move with his parents and help them. And then I lived at a budget suite for a while, and my God, it was so expensive, there's no way to stay there, and the money just ran out. And then I went to a friend's house that I thought was going to be my emergency spot, and I was on the sofa there, and within a week, she went crazy and kicked me out of there, just because, I don't know, we don't really know why she did it. She was yelling and screaming, and she was just going crazy that I didn't have a job, which takes time, and I had been applying all week, but that didn't get anything, and she went crazy and kicked me out. So I then went to my last desperate spot, which was a house that was a nightmare, the most totally wrecked house you've ever seen. Garbage everywhere in every room. They were severe alcoholics, and there were rifles and handguns all around. Like, laying on the bed were AKs or ARs, I don't know what you call them. Anyway, pit bull dog, the whole bit. Couldn't sleep there. There were boombox things thumping in downstairs and upstairs. And basically, they had me not getting sleep. There was no good food there, and I don't know. The other night, this guy walked up to me and pointed his finger. Put his thumb up, pointed his finger onto my forehead, and he goes, "What if I just went and got my 45 and went bang, 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 bang? What would you do then?" And I thought to myself, this is somebody who drank more than 40 beers, and he's doing this to me. And he does have real guns and real ammunition, and I don't think this is good. And through my attitude and my telling them I don't like some things, and them not liking some things, that I didn't have a job, I wasn't paying them rent, they told me to get out. And so I became homeless Jay at the library, and then at the parking lot. Well, I guess I got away from that, but I was at the parking lot with Lou. That's the story I told her, and she said, "Well, I also told her, you know, I apply for these things to the robot websites, which everything has changed to that nowadays. There have only been a couple that take a paper application and actually greet you with a human being. The robot applications have all been sending me rejection letters, or I just don't hear back from anybody. It's just a black hole, nothing. So I tell her that, and I said, nobody will hire me. Some people have said it's my age. Some people say it's the gap of employment, which I've now filled by putting self-employed, but I don't know if that's going to fly. I'm not sure. And basically, she got to hear all that, and she was very patient and listened to it, and she goes, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to call you in the next day or so. I do know somebody that works at a nursery, and it's out by Red Rock Canyon, which I don't know, I've never been there, but from what my friend Don tells me, it's beautiful, and there are trees, and it's just out at the very rim of the valley here in Las Vegas, on the way to Red Rock, up in the mountains there, which is what that whole area is named out there on the west side. She said, he may have a job for you. And I'm thinking, she's telling me this even after all of that stuff that I just told her, that people won't hire me, you know, because I can't lift, I've broken my legs, I can't lift over a certain amount of pounds, I'm not supposed to, you know, I'll injure myself, and I'm not able to walk more than about a block before I have to stop because my calves give me severe pain, and then I wait a few minutes and then I can go again. Well, she acted like that was nothing, no big deal, and I think she's got a friend that works at a nursery out there at Red Rock Valley, she called it, not Canyon, I think she called it Red Rock Valley. But so now, I don't know, but this is a person who came through for me. I'm a total stranger, and she came through for me with that. Brought me a meal herself. I trust her. I think she would at least try to contact somebody she knows, and she's trying to get me a job working at a nursery, which I've never done before in my life. However, it's been something that I've wished for a long time, because I feel like I want to get back to the land and the plants and learn the actual science of it. All of my relatives, going all the way back to the 1500s, have been farmers. And I feel like my dad was the first one to turn away from that, because he started off living on a farm, moved away, didn't want to do it, got into the Department of Agriculture and did farm-related things, but he did more administrative type of things. So he was never working the land anymore, except for he did a garden at home and things like that. But, you know, growing up, I didn't pay attention to what my dad did. I could have learned a lot. He was planting all kinds of things and growing orchards of trees, and, you know, I just wanted to get away from doing work when I was a little kid. I just wanted to be go out and play, like all kids do. So anyway, we'll see what happens with this Lady Lou. She's really something. I can't hardly believe it. And so anyway, I'm now at night gotten a wonderful meal, and for some reason I'm not feeling poisoned. I'm feeling really good. I don't know whether it was the 2 days with no food, or if it was the ingredients that were put in that. It says all organic, and I think I felt, you know, very healed, like it was really good for me. And so I go I went and parked the car and got in my sleeping bag and pillow in the back seat. And I'm about 2 feet too long for this car, so I have to bend up my legs to be able to do this. But I just hopped in the back and fell asleep like about, 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And I had the most wonderful, I cracked the windows like about maybe an eighth of an inch, just a tiny bit, enough to let air go through on, both sides. And I didn't want it to be spotted because I don't want to get a cop driving by to see somebody sleeping in a car. So I parked where there's a bunch of other cars and brick walls and, those kind of streets where there are no houses or yards or anything. It's just all walls on both sides. And I had the most wonderful rest. I had my earbuds in, listening to the rest of my Art Bell radio show, and I must have fallen asleep when it got over. And I woke up, and the sun was already up a little bit, 7 o'clock, something like that, and I got up and I stood up outside and I was like, wow, I feel really wonderful. And it was nice and cool out. We're in the 80s already here, and nice and cool out. Just felt great. So I went and got myself one of my $1 coffees. And by the way, that Lady Lou, on her way leaving last night, she also knew that was a long trip out there, and apparently she's planning on me going out there and getting a job at that nursery. She goes, that's for gas money, and she actually spotted me some money too. And I told her, no, you've done more than enough. You've done way too much already, but I don't want to take any money. I don't want it. This is too much. And I really was feeling that way. I'm being a burden on this lady. I don't want to do this. And she crammed it in my hand. She goes, no, here you go. And I go, well, if it wasn't for this COVID thing and we're having to wear these masks and everything, I would give you a great big hug right now. And she goes, I know, I would too. And she goes, okay, you have a good holiday. And I'm like, good holiday? And she goes, well, as good of a holiday as you can, just try. And I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking, what holiday? So anyway, I forget about that. So now it's the next morning, I'm standing there with my coffee, and this guy pulls up in a car, he's got his window open, and there's all this church singing, rah, 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 rah. It's like the Catholic, the Catholic church type of singing where there is a huge crowd of people, all their voices are singing at this other language all at the same time. And then the announcer comes on and goes, you're listening to such and such on Easter morning. And I'm like, that's the holiday. My very first day of homelessness. My very first full day of homelessness. Easter morning.